Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode number 441 of Ink in Your Veins. I'm Rachel Herron, and I'm so glad you're here today with me on this mini episode. I only have one patron question, and it's been sitting there a while, and I just feel guilty about it, and I want to answer it. So you know what that means. If you are a patron at the $5 a month level and up, you can ask me anything about writing. And if you have heard these episodes before, you know that you could ask me about, like, how do I open a Word document in an expeditious manner? Or you could ask me something deep and existential. And deep and existential is normally what we handle around here. So I would love to help you if you want help with that. But I've got some other cool things to tell you before we get into the one question that we have. And I want to talk to you about some cool, exciting things. So let's hang out for a minute. All right. First of all, I want to tell you about Writing in the Junkyard, because I haven't told you about it because I was so busy with the Kickstarter. And this is an online retreat that I am having this month in May. As I record this, it is May 2nd, and the online retreat is at the end of May, or like 3 weeks into May. Let me get the exact dates for you. They are Friday, May 24th, May 25th, May 26th. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's 2 hours in the evening on Friday, 6 hours on a Saturday, and 1 hour on the Sunday. And what Writing in the Junkyard is it is a place to experiment with finding ease and joy in your everyday writing, which is in the junkyard. I say junkyard with love, but I do think about the detritus and the clutter and the junk and the tons of stuff that we have to do in our everyday lives. And y'all, I'm a full-time writer and I still struggle to find those pockets of time to get the words on the page. And for 10 years of my career, I was working two more than full-time jobs. So I get it. What I do love to do is to help people find the joy and the fun in getting back to their project. So you can come in with a project. This is one of those writing retreats where in that Saturday time of writing, you will be working on your project. If you do not have a current project, we can start you on something new. There will be prompts for you to choose from if you want them. But what this really is a series of exercises. Oh, exercise, that makes it sound not fun. It's a series of fun things to do to kind of jumpstart your creativity again. If it's been a while, if you've lost a little bit of the spark, I would love to play with you. This is a playful time. And I have forgotten to tell everybody about it. So it's probably going to be really small and intimate and amazing. And we're going to be working side by side in recapturing the joy and the passion and the love that we have for our writing. So you can find that over at rachelherron.com/junkyard. And there is early bird pricing until this Sunday. Is that right? Let me look at the calendar. Yes, until this Sunday. Until this Saturday. No, let's make it Sunday, May 5th. That gives you a little bit more time. Early bird pricing until May 5th. And then it'll be the full price until the May 24th. So you can check that out. rachelherron.com/junkyard. Again, it's 2 hours on Friday night, the 24th, 6 hours with a break on Saturday, but really concentrated time to have fun and to really write and to recommit yourself to the process, especially for those of you who are like, I'm writing a book. I'm writing 7 or 8 books and I can't remember what any of them are about because I haven't looked at them in weeks or months, versus for some of us, years. So that's 6 hours on the Saturday and then 1 hour of celebration on the Sunday and recommitment. It's like a recommitment ceremony, although that's not what I'm going to call it because even as I said that, that's not what we want to do. We're going to party. We're just going to party about our work. We're going to party with our work. So that is coming up if you're interested in that. What else did I want to tell you about? This is super cool and exciting. So you know that Lala has been working on my Shopify store. I kept forgetting to get her what she needed to do that. So I finally did that and she finished it. It's gorgeous, y'all. She is a Shopify expert and she wanted to make a site that looks beautiful. So you can go to rachelherrinbooks.com. And I'm not even telling you that. So you can go buy books. Just go check it out because I think it is lovely the way it moves and scrolls and everything that is there and the way she set it up, rachelherrinbooks.com. But I'm saying this because Lala, my wife, is hireable now to create Shopify stores for you. And she's doing it at discount rates because she's still getting this business up and running. But what she's also, what she also really wants to do, but she has been a front-end web developer for the entire time I've known her, 20 years. So this is what she does. Front-end web developing just means the part of the web that looks at the customer, making things look beautiful. Also, she knows how to drive all the back-end stuff. But she makes stuff that looks good and works well. And what she'd also like to do is create simple author websites. And this is what I'm always banging on and on about, and is that every author needs a website. You don't need to do social media. You don't need to do a lot of things that people worry that they have to do, but you do have to have when you're out there, when you're getting your stuff out there, when you're querying. You don't have to have this right now unless you want to build it ahead, but you need a website and you need a way to collect email addresses. That's it. And it can be super simple, super easy. But here's the reason I'm telling you about it is that she wants to build somebody a free author website as basically a proof of concept and also to show herself how much time it will take and what she's going to end up billing for a simple website because she's going to be on the budget end. But she wants to start from scratch with somebody. So it's going to be, I put together a Google Sheet, a form where you can go drop your name and email address in there if you're interested in being randomly drawn for her to build you a website for free as her starting mark. Because what she has done is she works on the websites for Dropbox and Twitter before it was Elon Musk. Like, she works on the really, really big things and she doesn't know how long it's going to take to work on a small site. Please do not go to my website as a comparison, because my website, she has never touched. It is 22 years old and it's a bloody mess. At some point, I'm going to hire Lala to clean up my website, but my website is a train wreck of information and I don't really care that much. But I also don't want to change my URL. So she cannot do this proof of concept for me. It needs to be somebody who doesn't have anything. It's okay if you don't have your URL yet. She will help you with that. You will need to pay for, purchase the URL, purchase the domain hosting. But here's the thing, she's going to walk new authors or authors new to having an author website through everything. That's going to be part of what she does. So if you're interested in being in the drawing to be the free person that she helps do this and sets it up for, I think it'd be really cool. So you can drop your name in the hat, rachelherrin.com/Lala, rachelherrin.com/Lala, which is LALA. Go do that. We'll probably draw it. I think we'll draw it in 2 weeks. And if you want to see my Shopify store, if you want to skip over the author website and go straight to her building you a beautiful Shopify store, you can go look at mine, rachelherrinbooks.com. It is a thing of beauty. The top book right now is still A Life in Stitches because I love it and I put it up there. I cannot put Unstuck, my memoir, up there as the top book until I fulfill for Kickstarter. And I'm having so much fun working on the fulfillment stuff for Kickstarter. I need to finish writing the epilogue and get the art for the book before I can send the books out, but I'm doing that ASAP. So that's what's going on in the Kickstarter world. Oh gosh, I just feel like I have so much to catch you up on. Another thing that I wanted to tell you about was something that happened to me this week. It was absolutely horrifying. It was a Scrivener catastrophic failure. Well, I think the word catastrophic means it was absolutely irreparable, and this was reparable. Thank you, baby Jeebus. But for a while there, and I was in Rachel Says Write at the time, and I didn't even look at my own face. I didn't go over to Rachel Says Write to see what I look like, because I probably look like a ghost. What happened? Let me tell you what happened. I opened one of my current documents. I'm currently playing with three books. Oh gosh, four books. But what I do, and I've talked about this on the show before, is I write every day for 15 to 20 minutes on new stuff. Even when I'm working on much bigger projects that are much further along and are in the revision stages, et cetera, which is where I kind of live, I like to have new stuff always happening. So I look at my heart and soul and I ask myself, Rachel, what do you want to play with this morning? And I spend 15 to 20 minutes writing first draft words on that. So I opened this one. It's a book on swimming, which I really haven't talked about yet. But it's about open water swimming. I opened it up. There's only about 10,000 words in there, but a really important thing that was in the Scrivener file was the date, time, place, water temperature of all of the 22 swims I've taken in 2024. And from there, I'm kind of, working on essays around it, around those dates. And I opened it up and it opened as Scrivener does. Many of you may use Scrivener. It opened as Scrivener does to the scene that I was last working in. And I wanted to move to a different scene because I didn't know how I wanted to finish that one. And so I clicked to another scene. But when I clicked on the other scene in the left menu bar, it showed all of the text that I saw was from the scene that it opened into. And I thought, that's weird. Nothing changed. I could type in that scene. I could, go put, hello at the top of that scene. But every time I clicked anywhere else in the document, in any of the other scenes, it showed just that scene. So it appeared to be frozen. So I crashed out of Scrivener. I don't mean crash out. I closed Scrivener and I reopened it. Same thing is happening. Every scene that I touch just shows the words of that scene. The file names were all the old file names, but the words inside were the 1,447 words of that scene. That original scene. So I close Scrivener again. I open Scrivener in another file, like a different book, and that was fine. That just worked normally. So then I went back to the problematic swimming file, opened it up. Same thing. I can't find any words except those 1,447 words. So I closed my computer. I shut down my computer entirely. I was in Rachel Says Write. Like I said, I took host of the Zoom session on my phone. I didn't type to anybody that this was happening. I'm just currently, quietly having a panic attack and restarted the computer, opened up Scrivener again. And again, all 10,000 words are missing except for those 1,447 words, which is burned into my brain. My whole document that showed all of the swims, where I had taken them, what had happened on them, what the sea temperature was, all of that was gone, 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 gone. And then I went into the trash files, and whenever I start a Scrivener project, I get rid of a lot of things. I get rid of all the templates. I get rid of all the research things. I don't need those. I don't use those. So I went down there, and anything I clicked on down there in the trash also showed the 1,447 words. So I thought, okay, that's all right, because I do snapshots every once in a while. I do the snapshots, which is a way of backing up. And I went into the snapshots. There were three of them. And every snapshot showed those 1,447 words as well. And every time I typed a word or typed anything in that document, all of the documents changed. It was absolutely catastrophic. I do use a backup. I use Dropbox, but the file lives in Dropbox. So if the Dropbox file is corrupted, the file's corrupted. It's dead. The thing I often do is I compile and email it to myself, but I'm not really serious about this book yet. I'm only 10,000 words in. I'm only playing with it. I'm only doing 15, 20 minutes a day. If that, because I work on other projects, not serious about it. I had never compiled it. I had never emailed it to myself. And again, this is not a huge tragedy. 10,000 words would have really fried my bacon, especially all of the information about those swims. But, it's only 10,000 words. But it could have happened to a 100,000 word book that I've been working on for years and lost every backup. Of course, I would have compiled and emailed it to myself, but sometimes we get lazy. Like I said, I hadn't done that. I do use also a Mac. What do we call it? What do we call it? The Time Machine. I have a Time Machine hard drive. It had been, oh, 4 or 5 months since I hooked the Time Machine to my computer and did a Time Machine backup, because I'm not always that smart. And I lost it. I emailed Scrivener. There's a whole point to the story, y'all. I emailed Scrivener, told them about this, told them this was absolutely unacceptable. How can this have happened? It happened because I hit Control Command K which splits scenes. It's a control command K is a command I use a lot. If you're in the middle of a scene and you want to split it in half, it'll automatically drop you into the next scene. It'll take everything below the cursor, put it into a new scene. Use it all the time. I had done command or control command K, and this had happened. I did it as soon as I opened the document. And I think that might have been what triggered it. I don't know what error made it happen. They don't know what error made it happen. But after going back and forth, and you know, she told me to like restart the computer and do all those things. And she was not understanding the gravity of this. She did mention backups, and she said, "Go check your backups." And I thought, well, I don't have backups. I have backups, but I don't have the backups I need. Dropbox is corrupted. I didn't email myself, and I haven't done a time machine, so I don't have backups. And then she explained that Scrivener has a secret backup file, and this is why I am telling you this. It has a secret backup file, and here's how you get to it. Oh my gosh, this would not work for you if you always left Scrivener open. It always secretly backs up every time you close Scrivener. I always close Scrivener when I'm done for the day, but if one left Scrivener open all the time, as I could imagine people doing, if you'd left it open for months, you would not have a secret backup, which is why I'm telling you this, because I think you should make one. If you're in Scrivener, if you use Scrivener, go to settings, Scrivener, settings, and then go to backup. I Googled, I really did, but I didn't see this. And then there's all these options. Turn on automatic backups was turned on. So I'm assuming it comes that way, but you should check. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I knew this 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whenever I started to use Scrivener. But mine was set to keep five of the most recent backups. So it automatically saved to a backup location within Scrivener files, and it had five of my most recent backups. So I went back and I opened the most recent backup, which had happened the last time I closed, which was all of the work I had done, and it was all there. So I got rid of the corrupted file. I renamed the backup file the current name, and I have my entire thing. It's all there. It's all perfect. But what I have done was these are the things I have now selected. Now I keep 10 of the most recent backups of every Scrivener project. I don't know why 10, but it just feels better than five. I also selected backup when you open the project, backup when you close the project, which was already selected, backup with each manual save, because I do hit Command S a lot, but that wouldn't have helped in this kind of corruption. So every time I hit Control S, it is saving it into the Dropbox file, but it's also running an emergency backup file. I also chose backup before syncing with mobile devices, which I never do because Scrivener can sometimes have a problem with dealing with mobile devices. So I don't do that. I don't know if they fixed that, but I'm still leery of it. And then I chose to use the date in the backup file name, which will make them a little bit easier to tell apart. And it's all there. It's all there. You have a backup file folder. Go to Scrivener. Make sure it's turned on. And this has been your friendly public service announcement about that. And I'm very glad to share that. Okay, another thing that I wanted, this is the last thing I want to share with you before before the patient Patreon question. This was information that I got from Ed, my assistant and friend, and I thought I would share it with you because this is about audiobooks. So we know, you may not know, but Findaway is an audio service that distributes your books. If you use Findaway, you can't be exclusive to Amazon and get the higher percentage. That's fine. I don't want to be exclusive to Amazon, so I use Findaway to distribute all of the places, including Spotify. When Spotify bought Findaway Voices, they asked you if they could put your books on Spotify. And I thought, why not? And this is because Ed watches numbers. He says, in case you were curious how the Spotify streaming for audiobooks, which is free for premium subscribers. So basically, if you're a premium subscriber, you can listen to audiobooks for free. What do we get paid? It's always very hard to tell what we get paid from any of these companies. Findaway makes it really clear, but companies like Amazon make it really, really difficult to figure out. He goes on and says, the authors, okay, let's just start over. He says, in case you were curious how the Spotify streaming audiobooks is free for premium subscribers and the authors get a cut of the money is going, you had 7+ total book listens, I believe this was last month, and earned $28.13, which doesn't sound that amazing, except when you look at you sold 11 audiobooks through subscription on Audible and only earned $9.24. So Spotify is paying more than Audible right now. 11 audiobooks through Audible, I made $9.24. 7 book listens on Spotify, I made $28.13. So I can't do math, but isn't that like almost 3 times as much? It's 2.5 times as much. Oh, but then it's almost half as many books. So that's pretty awesome. I'm pretty pleased with that. I love to take these experiments. I love to, if my books can be available more widely somewhere, we just have a policy of putting them everywhere that they can be. So I thought that was super interesting. And thank you, Ed, for watching those things, because I would never think to ask and look. And I really appreciate Ed's help. Okay, finally, we're going to get to the Patreon question, which is right here. Okay. And this is from Neelam. And Neelam says, excuse me in advance for how long this is going to be. I love it, Neelam. Neelam says, I am working on a novel that started out as a short story in my mind, but as I worked on it, it became clear that the story wanted to be a novel. It started as one point of view, but has grown to 4 points of view across 2 timelines and 2 continents. It's quite the project. I started writing it as journal entries from the point of view of each character, and now I've got 35,000 words. I feel passionate about this project, and I really want to see it through. I really do think there is a book-shaped story here. However, I've hit a wall the last few weeks. The words I've got so far are so disconnected. I wrote out of chronological order, and I pants pretty much everything. It feels like what I've got now is a jumble of loosely connected vignettes about a particular family, and I'm worried the more I write, the more I'm adding to this mess. However, if I sit down to outline it, I'm afraid I'll lose the feeling of immediacy and urgency to tell this story. Is it normal for my story to feel like a series of disconnected vignettes? Do I keep writing and adding to this mess? The idea of writing an outline at this point makes my chest hurt. I really don't want to do it. But is that what I need to do? I have a bunch more scenes/vignettes living in my brain, but I'm worried about adding to the mess at this point. Thank you for your help. I love this question. So here's what I would do. I would absolutely not outline. Trust your gut in that. Do not outline. But I do think that you might be very, very well served with a list of what exists. It is not an outline, and it should take you, if you've got 35,000 words, it'll probably take you less than half. It should take you less than half an hour to do this exercise, if you don't mind. Open the document or documents, scroll through them as fast as possible, looking at each scene or vignette, and then writing on a list what happens. And we do not want details. We do not want she goes to the grocery store and meets Georgette and then buys salad dressing and thinks about her father who had a Pomeranian. What we want is grocery store. And then for the next scene, explosion. These are as short as possible. See if you can get each description of the vignette to between 3 to 5 words. These are arbitrary numbers I'm giving you, by the way. But what I'm meaning is keep it very, very short. All it is a tag for your brain to say, oh yeah, there was that scene. Oh yeah, there was that scene about the cave. Oh yeah, okay. You are not outlining it. You are not deciding what order to put any of it in. You are not deciding what to do with it in the future. You are basically sticking this. It's a way of sticking index cards on a bulletin board. You could use index cards. I don't know why I can't pluralize that. You could use index cards and put them in a pile. I like I personally like a list, like in a spreadsheet, because then later they're easier to shift around and copy and paste, but index cards might work really well. What I want for you is just to have all of the scenes slash vignettes in a list or in a form that you can look at later. But don't worry about the structure. For you, it sounds like structure is going to come in revision. I would encourage you to keep writing the vignettes as fast and as furious as they come. What normally happens to a lot of us who do this, who write out of chronological order and do this kind of work, is that at some point there will be a breaking point where you go, oh my God, I have 90,000 words and I don't know if there's a book in here. And at that point, every time you've written a scene or a vignette, you've been adding a few words to that list, right? So you don't have to go back and do this work again. As you move forward, each time you write a scene, you'll put it on the list. And that's when you will get a big cup of coffee or tea or wine and sit down with the list and start to move things around and ask yourself, what is the story I'm telling here? What have I shown? What does moving things around feel like to me? What does it suggest I might need more of? And then you write your way towards something. But we all reach that point at different places where we realize, oh, I need a little bit of structure here. I need to know how to get out of this big mess that I'm making. What I want you to do, to continue to do, is keep making the mess. Keep making the glorious, gorgeous mess of a book with a beautiful knowledge that you have a list. You have a list of things that have happened in this. So you are not out at sea. You're kind of gathering all of the equipment that you'll need to build the raft when you decide you need a raft, but you don't need one yet. Ignore my metaphors. That one's not working. But the list will work in whatever way you do that. But again, when you go back to make that list, don't spend more than 30 minutes on it. You should be able to do it even faster. You glance at the scene. You remember, you don't read the scene. That's the important part. Don't reread the scene, because then you'll start to fix and edit and worry. And oh, I should have done this. And maybe I should have done that. You want to stay as far back from it as you possibly can and say, oh, that's the explosion in the cave scene. Great. Explosion in cave. Great. What's the next one? They are not chronological. You are not organizing them. I recommend listing them in order that you come to them as they are written down. Not chronologically. It's a mess right now, but you know what they are. And please keep going. Please don't outline. And by outline, I mean make a plan of action, including, you know, thinking about story structure, because that makes your chest hurt. Your whole body is telling you that's not the way you're writing this book. So don't do it. But do have a list for the future, and that will make it'll make your life simpler. Also, just glancing at that list every once in a while is going to do interesting things to your brain. Not outlining things, but it will make you think of new things and new ideas on the days where maybe you don't have time to get to the computer, but you can pull out that list and scan your eye over it and think, oh, that llama scene makes me think of a supernova that I could add. Your brains do weird things. Allow your brain to stay weird and keep writing non-chronologically. Keep following what is sparkly and what is interesting to you, please. And thank you for asking this question. Thank you for being patient. And all y'all patrons at the $5 level, I'm out of questions. I have no more. So you'd be doing me a favor if you sent me some. So an overview as to what we have talked about today. I will put all of these links in the show notes. But the online writing retreat that's at the end of May, if you hear this, soon, still the early bird pricing. You can find that at rachelherron.com/junkyard. rachelherron.com/lala. Just go drop your name and email in there if you are interested in getting a free author website. You can go to rachelherronbooks.com if you want to see how Lala builds a Shopify store. But I know a lot of you aren't quite up to the Shopify experience yet, although you could be at any moment. Once you finish and edit and do the book, then you'll have a Shopify store if you want one. But she has just done such a gorgeous job for me on that. I am very, very pleased. And please back up your projects. Back up whatever you are writing in, whether it's Scrivener or Word. Just make sure you have multiple backups of everything, even if it's a brand new book that you're not really that attached to yet. Please do it. And I appreciate you being here and listening. And next week, we will go back to releasing podcasts as normal. But I really did kind of get addicted to talking to you all so much in the last few weeks that I have missed it. So thank you for being here. Thank you for writing. Please, if you have been doing your writing and you want to tell me about it, please come find me. I would love that. All right. We'll talk soon, my friends. Happy writing to all of you. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelharron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, R-A-C-H-A-E-L, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as a buck a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelharron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.